This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, January 18th, 2015, the second Sunday after Epiphany, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Glorify God in your bodies. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Glorify God in your body. The context of that reading from Corinthians today is immorality, and if you wanted to hear a moralistic sermon, that's not where we're going with this today, although you can go there. But foundationally, why the Lord admonishes us not to be immoral is because we are not our own. We belong to our Lord Jesus Christ by virtue of our baptisms, by virtue of our confirmations. And we are, as a result of that, supposed to glorify God in our bodies. You would not believe how many times I hear people say, and it's usually when there's something corrective said to people, that, well, God knows what's in my heart. Yep, He sure does. And guess what? He wants everybody else to see what's there. He knows that He wants other people to see. That is the gospel. That is evangelism, people knowing who we are. Even in secular society, if you're in trouble, you look around and what you try to find? Cop. How do you know he's a cop? Because he's wearing a uniform. You know, sports. You know, it would be kind of unwieldy out on the field if nobody was wearing a uniform, right? I don't know who anybody is. God wants people to know who you are. They might hate it. They might make fun of you, but God wants them to know who you are. And it's not a suggestion. Notice He doesn't say, hey, if you're real hyper-Catholic, glorify God in your body, because I know what's in your heart. Okay? The response for the psalm today, behold, I come, Lord, because you know what's in my heart. No, I come, Lord, to do your will. How do you do God's will if nobody, if you keep it a big secret? That is truly hiding the light under a bushel, okay? We are not supposed to, we are to glorify God in our bodies. That is the theological virtue of purity. Well, purity, that's very subjective. No, it is not. It absolutely is not subjective. It is being able to control your body in holiness and honor. Because we are Catholics and we are supposed to do such things. Alright? We were created body and soul. Alright? And together, in a unity, God says, that is very good. It's not, I'll make them soul and body, and as long as their soul belongs to me, they can really do anything they want with their body. No, absolutely not. Once by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, your eyes are open to His grace, and you are brought, and you answer as Samuel did, here am I, Lord. Then, after that, you don't belong to yourself anymore, and you are expected to present what you are. You are expected to wear the uniform. That's all there is to it. Okay? We are body and soul, but we are a unity. It's scriptural. Yeah. I always tell you, be wary about chapter and verse me on that. Okay, right? Okay, in Corinthians it says, glorify God in your body. That is throughout Scripture. We are to do things for that. We are to put our best foot forward to Him, for Him. We see in the Psalter, bring forth your first fruits. Come worship God in holy attire. Before our offering, every week, we hear a Scripture sentence. And they vary from week to week, depending on the celebrant, but they all basically say the same thing. Such as, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. By doing things, not by what's in your heart is God glorified? God is glorified by people seeing your good works. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Worship is not when you walk through those doors for an hour-ish every week, or how many other days you may come in here. Your worship of God goes on all the time. It is truly a 24/7 proposition. You are not your own. You are His, and you are always supposed to reflect the glory of Christ. You are to glorify God in your bodies. That's what we are called to do. That is evangelism. St. Francis, preach the gospel. If all else fails, use words. We don't do real well at articulating things. We show people things. That's how they learn. That whole walk the walk thing, as opposed to just talking the talk, cliche, yes, but absolutely, positively true. All right? St. John Chrysostom, speaking in the context, and he's speaking about unbelievers who watch Christians act the way they do, act which is differently than people act in the world, dress differently, speak differently, comport themselves differently. St. John Chrysostom says, speaking of the unbeliever, they blush to see the difference between their life and the life of a Christian. For when they see someone who shares in their own nature being so much above them, do they not feel obliged to believe that a divine power is at work to produce such sanctity? Is there a step back and kind of, particularly that last phrase, do they not feel obliged to believe that a divine power is at work to produce such sanctity, such holiness? And as I said before, they might hate it, they might make fun of you, ridicule you, despise it. Do you know why they do that? Because it is obvious that the Holy Spirit is working in that person to make them markedly different than what these people see in the world. Just this week, someone came by for a visit. They are not a mass goer. They are tremendously lapsed and living very deep in the world. And it was after a new mass, and there were a lot of people here at new mass on Friday, and they were standing outside. And this person who is lapsed looked at me afterwards and said, "I can't look at all them. They look so awkward." I said, "You got to call a spade occasionally, and I'm a little bit direct on occasion." I said, "No, guess what? You're the bent spoke in this whole thing. They all look just fine. You're the one that's out of place." Yeah, that doesn't go far with a lot of people. You know, you got to know who you're speaking to. I don't do that to everybody. But this particular person, you got to know that's telling. The world doesn't get it, and they don't like it because they're confronted with holiness, and they are evil. That's all there is to it. St. John's statement, it applies to the world, and it can go far. Because, I mean, even the person I was talking about is a lapsed Catholic. But we were standing out there one day, again after a New Day Mass, and some folks were standing out there, and one of the ladies was wearing a chapel veil, and a Muslim lady who picks up a child from the daycare, and she walks up, as she always does, she goes down the sidewalk, and she stops. And she comes back, and she looks at the lady that said, "I love your veil." What could you do with that? Where could you go with that? That's what it's all about. That's the practicality of things. But, you know, it works in the world, but we got to start paying attention. Always, you know, if we got to ratchet it up, it's got to start in our own hearts, and it's got to start in our own churches. Okay? What St. John says applies to Catholics in our parishes. Okay? The way people dress. You know, I love being here. I always say this whenever I start to go there in the context of dressing properly. I don't ever have to go there. I love being here. This is great. I just get a big grin on my face and my brother priest complain about the way people dress. I don't have that problem, ever. It just doesn't happen here. Okay? Thank God. All right? I think a person would come in inappropriately or would feel tremendously out of place. All right? But I visit other parishes, and it is true. I don't use this term to be hyperbolic. It is truly monstrous, some of the stuff that I say. I can remember, and this was probably a year and a half ago, I can remember being in a certain parish around here. There must have been over, without exaggerating, there were probably over 2,000 people at this event, and there is one person that I can picture in my mind's eye. It was that bad. It was that ghastly. You don't know what's in their heart. Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. You don't get it. You have absolutely no clue. You don't get this whole Christ thing. You don't get who he is. You're not relating well to him. And that's judgmental. Well, guess what? As long as it's not unrighteous, that's what we do. Okay, 2/3 of the New Testament is St. Paul judging things. We don't judge unilaterally. We don't judge unrighteously. We don't judge arbitrarily or subjectively. But I mean, if you have kids, you judge their actions. If you're a supervisor where you work, if anybody's under, you judge their performance. Okay, so judging isn't a big deal as long as it's done righteously. And that is inappropriate. Okay, and a lot of people, all the way these people dress, I'll point fingers at people in religious order and priests. I went to another parish and I had my clericals on and a black sport jacket. Yeah? I walked in this place and a priest looked at me and goes, what are you all dressed up for? All dressed up. I mean, it's work clothes. that's what you wear if you're a priest. But that's not the case anymore. I went to visit one parish one day. I'd go to see the priest. And, hey, is Father around? Well, he just walked out. You just passed him. I didn't see any priest. He had the pink golf shirt on. Duh. Oh, I can't believe I didn't pick him out as the priest. Wow. Guess what? Hell? Guess what? Nuns ought to wear habits. I'm just saying. The way we dress says something. Okay? And not just in here. Out there. Don't come in here dressed all conservative and everything. You'll walk out there dressed like hooch. You know? Don't dress like you're going... That's it. You're putting a stumbling block in front of people. You're tempting people. That's not what we're about. Our speech, the way we talk. Okay? Don't come in here. And you know, very rarely do you hear people dropping any bombs around the church. It just doesn't happen normally. Something really bad happens. It doesn't happen. Don't do it when you're out there. Oh, I never say that. I never talk like that in front of the kids. I never talk like this in front of women. Well, guess what? If it's bad in front of the kids or in front of women, it's bad. Get a grip. That's hard, too. I was in the Marine Corps for 4.5 years and a cop for 28. I'm still working on it, all right? You got to get a grip. Okay? Our actions, just the way we carry ourselves, the thing that we do, I mean, it speaks volumes. I'm an early person. I get to places early, and not out of any kind of motive, like I like to watch people come in, but it just happens when you like to get places early. I'll sit in parishes. I watch people start to mingle in. The way they walk in, they're like, that person doesn't get it. That person doesn't get it. And when like three, four, or five of them, then all of a sudden it's like, this parish doesn't get it. It's telling. It really is. The way we walk, the things that we do, the actions. You do the sign of the cross out in a restaurant. I don't know how many times you do the sign of the cross before you eat. I used to be a Catholic. Again, what can you do with that? It kicks the door open because of something you do, an action you do. You know, this might be a little footnote, but yeah, folks. When you come in here, we genuflect because our Lord Jesus Christ is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity on this altar in that tabernacle. Okay? And yeah, that's if you're a visitor, that's where you're dead center of the altar. We have had people come in here and go, where's the tabernacle? Dead center on the altar? Oh, you know, they're so used to Jesus being in a closet somewhere off to the side. Okay? You know, you come in here, it's respect. Everybody always, snaps to attention and puts their hand over their heart when a piece of fabric goes walking down the street that represents something, all right? They come into the house of living God and they get this head nod. Guess what? Please, don't bother. I'm serious. And there's a lot of people who can't change. I know, I got bad knees, okay? I'm in here occasionally. But guess what? A profound bow That's a bow at the waist. You know, and you bow. This curtsy stuff, this little bit. No, don't bother. Okay? Genuflect, profound bow. Well, you don't know, I got this going on. Come in here some Saturday evening for adoration. We have adoration of the Blessed Sacrament from 5 till 6 before Mass. I always sit back in the back there. If I'm not in the confessional, I'm sitting back there in case somebody wants to go to confession, say your confessions during that time. And to watch, you know, and I don't gawk at people, but you're sitting back there, you're going to see people in their late 60s, 70s, one in their early 80s, they come in here and they get down on their face. They don't genuflect. They genuflect when they come in and Christ is in the tabernacle. When they come in here and he's on the altar, they get down on their face. Old people get down on their hands and knees and put their face on the floor. That is encouraging. That is exhorting someone by your actions. Take that to other parishes with you. Well, I wear a chapel veil when I'm at Incarnation, but I don't when I go to this. Do it. Because when people do that, that's when St. John's quote, they feel obliged to believe of a divine power that is work producing such sanctity. That old thing I always say about, you know, that makes you holier than me? Yes. That's the response that you give people. Yes. But you can have it too. It's something that I have that you can't. Okay? We are not our own. That's why we act like this. We are not our own. You are the priest of your temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you are in charge of the way God is worshipped in that temple. Don't ever let anything in there or do anything that profanes it. Make it look like a temple of God. Act like it's a temple of God, because that's what it is by virtue of your baptism. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. You do not have license to make the decisions. That's how you will act, how you will dress. I dress any way I want. Then you don't get it. So you just might want to watch what you say here when we're doing the creed and things like that. Okay? Sit back and watch. Learn. It's important because it's living the life. It's actually knowing Christ. Because if you don't know him, that's when you act however I want. But again, we don't have the power to make those decisions because we are not our own. We answer as Samuel did. If you come in here and you say the creed before the altar of God, if you receive him, body, blood, soul, and divinity into yourself, you are answering, whether in words or in your deeds, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Hear what he has to say. Then remember the words, you are not your own. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.